There we are. Yes. It's almost a sing-along type thing. You just want to
It's almost a sing-along, yeah.
Just do the ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo thing.
Ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo.
Well, we've got some other visitors with us today. We've got Captain Mike Fitzcharles, and we got the one and only Jeff Calkins. And Jeff's in the chair across from me. Mike's in the middle seat today. And I got to tell you, it is an exciting day to be on Radio Fish Egg. Yes, it indeed it is. It's interesting. It's exciting. And the crowd loves you guys.
Yay, thank you.
Too many of them.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Anyway, come on, folks. Settle down, you know. We got to get on with the show. All right. So anyway, what's been going on in the wide world of fishing, guys?
Seems like the cobia bite is crazy.
Off the hook.
Yes.
Pretty much off the hook.
Okay, we got cobia. Now, remind me to get back to that. Mike, you took the grandkids on a fishing trip a little while ago.
The granddaughter, yes.
Granddaughter?
Yeah, we went out to the 41 bridge.
And okay, who was all on the boat with you?
My wife, Claudine, my son, Chris, and my granddaughter, Skylar.
Yeah, I saw some of the pictures there on your page when people click on this and go on and see a couple of pictures of it. What was the, how'd you guys do?
We did well on the whiting. That was pretty much it. We brought one trout back in that was a keeper, and didn't have too much luck. We were trying for some cobia, got broke off once or bit off. I don't know what it was.
Now, I heard there was a better fish. Skylar got her first shark, wasn't it?
This nice. Is true. Yeah, she got a bonnet head about 2.5 foot long.
I saw the pictures of that. This was one happy, scared, excited, and grandpa, what the heck are you doing to me, kid? I mean, when you handed her the shark and she's holding that shark,
yeah,
you could see that she's really excited, really happy, and looking at you like, what are you thinking? You just handed me a shark?
Yeah. She's a pretty smart little girl. She enjoyed that thoroughly, and she was just waiting for the picture so she could show everybody at school. And she's a Girl Scout or a Brownie or whatever, and, you know, she's in a lot of different things, so.
She's a nice little kid.
Oh, yeah, smart.
So.
Doesn't take after her grandfather, but.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what we all hope for, that as generations come, they get a little bit better, a little smarter, you know. Yeah. So you guys look like you had a good time, a little bit of relaxing, a little bit of fishing,
yeah,
and some real excitement. What was she like when she got the shark?
Oh, well, you know, that pole, it was one of your poles, a pink pole, and it was bent over double, and she was just, well, she went right after it after she got a hold of the pole, you know, while she was fighting. There was no doubt she was going to bring it in. I mean, she throws that thing, she's only 8 or 9, and she throws it like a professional.
Cool.
Yeah.
I bet she was real happy.
Yeah.
So, anyway, as it turned out, it was a pretty good day all around.
It was.
You guys went out in the bus and had a nice day. That bus is a heck of a
boat. Oh, boy, I'll tell you. Yeah, it's exciting, especially when you get it up full blast. And you have to see it to believe it, but the sides kind of vibrate a little bit.
Oh, yeah, the sides wobbling out. Yeah.
Nice, yeah.
It's got all these seats, and it looks like a darn school bus. It's so big and long, and it's got all the chairs and everything in it. But, yeah, you get it out there, pound a little bit, the other sides tend to flex. But that's what makes them strong. If it gives, it doesn't break.
That's right. You know, no, it was great fishing out of it.
But it is a little intimidating first time you run it.
That and the trolling motor. That was the first time I ever ran one with a keypad. So.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Control trolling motor.
Yeah. So that took me a while to get on to that.
That one will even, if you push the button, it'll keep you right where you're at.
Right.
It's got a little anchoring feature.
Yeah. I put your dad out late.
The only bad thing is it really burns up the battery holding it there.
Yeah. Right.
It really does. I've used it, and it works great. Unless the tide's going one way and the wind's going the other,
then
the
boat too hard.
Just keeps going in circles because the front wants to stay there, but as soon as it pulls back, it tries going back, and it pushes it back and forth. You're going around. It's fine if the wind and the current are going the same way.
Yeah.
But the other way, that whole GPS trolling motor thing, it wasn't exactly what I had hoped for. Mm-hmm. But, Jeff, you've had some fishing excursions out lately.
Yep, we've done some fishing excursions out. We went to Placida a week and a half ago,
Cindy got a nice big 36-inch snook, was like 14 pounds. She almost lost it after she got it on the Boga grips. You know, the picture would tell the tale of the five pictures of it trying to get away from her, but she held on to it. But I didn't think that
What kind of bait were you using?
We were using shrimp. Yeah. She threw a live shrimp in, and it was probably about 2 inches long first, and then after it got hit by the bait fish or whatever the sheephead that hit it the first time, it was like 3.5-4 inches long and no shell on it. And she gave me one of those, flipped it over the back of her shoulder and into the pilings, and boom, she was on right away with that fish. I didn't think she had a prayer catching it, but he ran about 20 yards down the pier in front of another boat, did a dance, and then came back, and she did real well with it. She did real well with it. Came in on that. She had a Terramar with a sustain reel, but she's had that for quite a while now, that setup.
Yeah, and it's surprising. Even being Shimano, it still holds up good.
Still holds up good.
Still holds up good.
You know, I'd know, like to get him something new, but it's still working. So you know, stick with it.
No, it's actually a very good setup. It's a very, very strong, very good setup. We sell quite a few of the sustains, but not a big seller.
Not
actually,
too many.
I sell more Stellas than I do sustains. Which is surprising, because the one's, you know, 300-ish and the other one's 700.
Yeah.
And it's surprising we sell more of the 700 than we do the 300.
I would have personally would have never really picked a sustain, but it just came about it an easy way. So, I mean, you know, it was a reel that somebody came in and they didn't want, and so we ended up taking it. I like Shimano's, you know, so we're like, yeah, we'll try it. So, but we've been upriver, trolling upriver and doing some fishing up there, and popped a couple tarpon. More big gar this year.
I've heard
30
of
4 pounds.
5 foot gar up there.
Yeah, just huge, big, not the alligator gar. We don't see many of those, and people always confuse the long nose gar with the alligator gar, but the alligator gar doesn't have any spots on it when it's big and adult. The big adult 30 pounders that got spots on them are just that long nose gar, but still very fun to catch.
What were you catching them on?
Lures, trolling bombers.
Gotcha.
Yep, trolling bombers, various colors, chartreuse, black.
You made a
orange
bet with a guy. You gave him a purple lure.
Yep.
That new Balsa Extreme.
Yeah.
And he said, "Well, just try it, and you know, and see what happens. If you don't like it, I'll buy it back."
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he bought 5 more today.
Oh, good, good, good.
No, he bought the Balsa Extreme jointed that you sold with the big, you know, because all the
that's
good. He's catching monster snook on it. He bought the straight one. He bought the new.
When he came in, all we
scatter
had
wrap.
Yeah,
the Balsa Extremes, the scatter wraps. He was just buying all the ones with the color on them that you showed him.
That's
he was just he was excited.
Well, that's good. That's good, because I've had quite a few people that have come in this year, and that purple seems to be working on the river.
Yeah.
The only thing I don't like about that Balsa lure is it's not made like the old ones, where it's not wired through.
No.
So if you get a big fish or you hit it on something really hard and it shatters, you're just bringing back the nose cone. But
yeah,
it will.
But I got to tell you, the guy, he caught monster snook on that thing.
Yeah.
That Balsa Extreme with that purple on it was just ungodly.
Yeah, there's just a couple lures that I'll do that with in the store that I feel that confident with, that I'll say, if you don't like it, you bring it back in and tell him that Jeff said he would buy it back from you. And usually those people I have a good report with. I'm glad he bought more lures. Yeah, when he came in, all we had was that jointed one left. So
Well, he bought more of the jointed. He bought the straight. Cool. He bought the smaller size. He bought the bigger size, and he got the scatter wrap.
Oh, good.
So, I mean,
nice.
You got him hooked.
Good.
I mean, he's into it.
Yeah, I had another guy come in a couple weeks prior to that and sold him a couple lures, and then his partner came in. Kirk came in like a week and a half later. What'd you sell my buddy over there, you know? I know it's working if the other guys are coming in asking for it.
Well, Mike, I forgot to ask you. You guys, you were telling the story and I interrupted you, but where were you guys fishing when you went out with your son and granddaughter and wife and all that?
Basically, it was a southbound lane of 41 going over Peace River there. We were just back from the fender, just anchored up off, it was an incoming tide, so we were anchored up just probably 30, 40 feet out from one of the pilings there, and just floating stuff past 2 pilings.
And what were you using for bait?
Basically, all we were using was shrimp until I caught a whiting that somebody evidently had hooked behind the dorsal fin before for bait, and it was completely tore out there. So I took Jeff's information and hooked it right through the nostril and out the other eye socket and threw it back out there. And it floated around. It pulled the float around for about a half an hour or so. And I was doing something. I looked up and the float went down. I reached for the rod. The float came back up. And that was it. Nothing on the end of it. Took the fish and everything in just one swoop. So I don't know what it was. Probably a shark, more than likely.
Clean cut, probably.
Clean cut, yeah.
Clean cut, probably a shark, yeah. That what'd you catch the shark on that your granddaughter caught? What'd she catch?
No,
on?
She caught it on shrimp.
On shrimp.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, those bonnethead do like the shrimp.
Oh yeah.
Oh, they really do.
Yeah.
So now I was just kind of wondering because we had talked about it and I kind of stopped you and wanted to come back to that. So basically, your day was a shrimp day.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you would have had a steel leader, it would have been a big, right. big fish
well,
day.
Well, I had the steel leader and it was it wasn't on where it's supposed to be. So yeah. It was that time. I thought a 40 pound leader might be good. So,
was the steel above the 40 pound mono?
No, no.
Oh, okay,
no,
okay. I was just curious.
No, there was no steel on. It was in the actually in the tackle box.
Sometimes I've seen them tie that mono right to the bottom of that steel leader.
Right. No, it hadn't come out of the package yet. Actually, at that time, point gotcha. In time. So,
well, no, I was just curious what it all happened there. But there's been a lot of fishing, but it's been real weird, kind of sporadic. Not as hardcore as we would like it, no. But you're going to have some really good times and some really mediocre stuff.
Just got to kind of go with what's happening at the time, and right now it seems like the cobia bite, the tarpon bite, and the shark bite are really picked up.
Now, if you were going to pull a lure, let's say do a little trolling around the harbor here for tarpon, any good bets on a lure that would be...
And I'll fall back on that bomber all the time. It's just been such a good lure to me over the years. If I had to pick a soft bait, I'd probably say one of the big storm baits would be a good one to troll.
Yeah.
They, really, they don't cost a lot. They're a package by three, and
right. They're
all rigged and ready to go, so they're fairly quick to put on. If you're into the action and you seem to get one broken half, which does happen sometimes, then you can at least change out real quick. You don't have to worry about rigging it through or anything.
I think I would do kind of a combination, maybe a 16 bomber.
Yeah.
Maybe even a jointed one.
Yeah.
Pull it slow and do that jointed one.
Yeah.
And then probably one of the storm baits or a bait buster on the other side.
Yeah, bait
buster
is a good bait. Good.
That's where I was going to go with the bait buster there.
Yeah, they've been good too.
Yeah, because you can catch tarpon trolling, but they've got to be back a ways from the boat. I usually do it, I start at like 75 feet with the first one and go back from there.
I mean, everybody talks about footage and that, but I usually, for what speed I'm going, if I, the wash that's out behind the boat.
Right, the bubble wash.
I will
usually
go like two washes behind the boat. So you got your length of the wash and then two more after that.
What
I try to stagger it a little bit if I can too, if I got more than one rod out.
If I'm in deep water, I want my top water baits right in the very edge of my bubble trails.
Of the bubble trails.
Just so it's kind of there in and out of the bubble trail, because that seems to be some of the best hits I get.
See, I don't usually troll a top water type bait.
The diving baits, I want them kind of in and out of that bubble wash, at least one of them. But then everything else, I'm going down and coming up. Then I use some moderate size, like a 15 bomber, the small medium one, to the... something about 3-4 inches long, just kind of going in and out of the bubble trail, bright, shiny, because that seems to be like they see it, don't see it kind of thing. But in the
trigger
harbor,
the
I don't really follow that rule much because I don't think the bubble trail and the thing is that I do more like you do, one, two, three bubble links back.
Yeah.
And that's where I'll start my baits.
Yeah. But I'm just wondering now, next time I go, I might put one in nice and close.
Yeah, it's great offshore.
Yeah.
When I'm in the clear waters of the Gulf, Atlantic, anywhere where I've got, that deep water and the fish are down below, it seems like that all that bubbles and then that bait kind of appearing, disappearing from it, it really makes a big difference.
Mm. I'm going to give it a try the next time just to see.
But I don't know if it'd work in the harbor. I've never paid attention to that same rule I use in the Gulf to in the harbor.
Right. Well, and I'm way up the river, so that's even...
Yeah, it's trickier because, fresh water and the less salt in it, it bubbles different than the salt water.
Less bubbles.
It really does.
Bigger and less bubbles.
Yeah, it's bigger bubbles and less, when the prop cavitates, it it seems like the bubbles hang in the salt water more.
Yes, definitely. Suspended.
Suspended more, yeah. That's the perfect word for it.
Yeah. What speed are we talking about when we're doing this? What would you say would be an average?
I'm anywhere from 3 to 6 knots, which some people might think is really fast. I talk to some people that don't troll over 1.5.
I start out usually trolling about 2. And I get all my stuff set up, and then I'll bump up from there. And I've gone up to, 5 miles an hour. But
depends if I'm going
2 to 3 miles an hour is about where I'm going most of the time.
Yeah.
And it could be a little less, a little more, but 2 to 3, between 2 and 3 is my average. But I do a lot at 4, to think about it. Mm. And then dropping down a little slower if I'm going against a heavy tide.
Yeah.
But
well, like I said, if the river's flowing, depending on how fast it's flowing when I'm coming down with the current and they may be an outgoing tide, I might be doing as much as 6, but I do a lot by feel. Awesome. I got that one lure and I know how it should feel.
Right.
And I'll get to that and I'll be like, oh, okay, this is where I should be at.
Yeah, it's hard because if you're going with the current, you got to go a lot faster. You're going against the current, you might even drop way down slower.
Yeah.
Trolling is kind of different. We've got some nice ball bearing snap swivels, and I'm going to put a couple of Sampo. I usually use the American Fishing Wire ball bearing swivels, but if I'm going to troll a spoon, no, I'm going right to the Sampo. I think for
two swivels, a lot of times,
a lot of people will use. Tie the line to the leader with a ball bearing swivel, and then I put another ball bearing snap swivel on the spoon. I'm going to try that in the harbor here this year for tarpon, some of those big king spoons.
Yeah, and sounds like a plan.
What I want to do is drop either half, three-quarter ounce sinker above the first swivel, try and get it down in the water a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Either that or I'm going to go to dipsy like I would up north.
Yeah.
But use a separate line dipsy. I don't want that dipsy in the middle of it. The tarpon will pull it apart.
Yeah, yeah.
But so I'm thinking about half, three-quarters an ounce egg sinker in front of the swivel, go about 4 feet a leader, some 60-pound fluorocarbon, and to a ball bearing snap swivel, and then put a spoon on it. So a ball bearing snap swivel, a ball bearing swivel, 4 or 5 feet of 60-pound fluorocarbon with
another
a
swivel.
Snap swivel on it, and then attach my spoon to that.
Shouldn't have no problem with it rolling then.
Okay. But I really want to try and see about it. I know it's going to take half, if not 3/4 of an ounce, to keep it in the water enough.
Yeah.
Those spoons have a lot of lift.
Yeah. And those trolling lead that we have, too, might be.
Yeah, I think I just want this one on the line because I don't want it fixed there. I'd rather it kind of slide up down that 3/4 ounce.
Right.
Because tarpon gets flinging that stuff around so much. That's
could
tough.
Be a rocket.
So I'm thinking if the line, slip sinker,
egg sinker
can slide up the line, that might help get it out away from it a little bit.
Yeah, it might. It might. Could become a rocket too, but
everything's going to be your detriment. But I'm thinking if the tarpon goes up in the air, maybe that sinker will go down on the line a little bit and not be quite so. Stay right there because when you use the trolling sinkers, which are better, but then you got to tie your line to it, and
you're locked into it.
It's got to stay right there,
which
is better if I'm offshore. But when I'm doing tarpon, I'm looking for 150 pounders that are going 6-8 feet up in the air.
Yeah,
I'm not sure I want it fixed there. I think I'd rather have it hopefully maybe slide down the line a little bit, get away from it.
That weight helps you hook them and it helps you unhook them too.
Yeah,
it's just.
Yeah, and that's what's going on in the pass because Boca Raton Pass right now, you cannot use certain jigs.
Yeah.
You can use any jig you want, Captiva Pass, Redfish Pass, Ponderosa, Gasparilla, Stump, but just not Boca.
Right.
And we're finally getting calls with people saying, here, you want to try and buy some of these, because this is
they got different things set up for the tarpon jig.
So I've seen probably about 6 different models. Mike Myers had a good
one. There's one where they're drilling it through.
And just letting it slide up the line.
Yeah.
And that one's going to be pretty basic, pretty okay.
Yeah.
Mike Myers had a great idea.
Yeah.
And his was kind of a side mount. And the hang was right.
Yeah.
I mean, the lead was over the hook on the hang. So, technically it's legal.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure how they're going to work.
I don't either.
We'll
have to see what happens.
They were doing lots of Carolina rigs last year.
Yeah.
Getting in the start, and I saw a lot of the guys out there Carolina rigging, which is simply putting the weight on. Now, if you do it the way the live baiters do, you just tie your hook, or you tie your line to a swivel, and then run your leader and your hook, and then you wire wrap the egg sinker on, which I don't know why they do that, because if you don't want it to fall off, you put it on the line. If you want it to fall off, you wire wrap it. Wire wrapping's always been the way we've used the breakaway, but I thought that was all illegal.
Yeah, yeah.
But when I went out last year and looked, every single boat out there wire wrapped the leads on.
And I don't think it was to let it come off. I think it was just the way they like it. Is it set up so it'll slide?
No, because with the wire wrap, it can't slide. It's fixed into place.
Huh.
The only thing I can think of is they're supposed to fall off, but I didn't think you were allowed to do that. But I was
looking
around.
Well, it's got to be the same.
And everything was all in a flux last year. So I'm interested to go out and see how the guys are doing it this year.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're not allowed. Believe it or not, breakaways are illegal everywhere.
Yep.
That's a $5,000 fine. You get caught throwing lead, intentionally throwing lead in the water.
Right.
That is a $5,000 fine.
Right.
You know, that's EPA. Yeah. Nothing to do with Florida statutes. It's the federal government deemed, if you know, you're not allowed to throw lead in the water, that's a $5,000 fine.
Right.
You know, but it's going to be an interesting year with the tarpon. Yeah, you guys hear any tarpon stories going on?
Guys are catching them. There seem to be a sporadic all over the place. Had a couple guys that got some up in the East Spring Lake again, so I know that they're up in there. Probably better if they're not rolling. You probably got a better chance of getting them than if you see them. So you know, as far as that
any,
goes.
Any ideas what to throw?
DOA bait busters, what been bait the busters? Most popular inshore canal bait for them.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Anything you heard of, Mike?
Not for tarpon, no. I heard somebody talking on the side of me about they had a 150-pounder, you know, but I was working the cash register, so.
Right.
I think Thursday or Friday of last week, they had three boats hooked up in the deep hole, the northernmost deep hole in the harbor.
The 20-foot hole.
But nobody actually boated one.
Yeah,
but there were three hookups at the same time.
I think if I was out there, I'd look at the holes, but I'm gonna be really watching the sides, going over by the sandbars, more in the mouth of Alligator Creek, mouth of the Micah River. I'm gonna be working the sides where
the majority
of boats aren't.
Yeah, I think the tarpon are keyed into eating these fish that just like the cobias are, the sugar trout, the whiting, the ladyfish. I think they're all in that kind of a mode right now.
Well, I think you're right, except for the thread fins are moving in.
Yeah,
I think
finally.
They're going to start busting some thread fins.
Yeah.
I think that's going to prove to be a killer bait. But
I'm
going to go with you on the whiting, the crabs, maybe even chunks of mullet. Yeah. I think dead baiting them is going to be, get them one side of the harbor or the other around the holes and dead bait them.
Yeah.
I don't really know that it's prime time for live baiting them.
Right. Well, and not only that, but you're liable to get a lot of other stuff that way too. You got your sharks, you got your snook, you got tarpon, all three of those.
Everything's out there.
Yeah.
So, anyway, anything else we can go over today, guys?
I don't think so.
Not
right at the moment.
No.
All right. Well, today is Thursday, and you guys will be back next Thursday with more.
There you go.
We're gonna try and get everything on a schedule, so everybody in the store gets to. Because I got to get everybody on again.
Yes.
We're gonna start getting. Now that we've got a lot of legal stuff goes on, I am legally copyrighted and trademarked.
Excellent.
Yes.
Yep. There you go.
Yeah. Yes. So
no more free rides.
No, we are.
Good song, but not it.
Great.
That's
song.
The name of the song. I've been playing guitar here so much lately. I was trying to remember the name of that. I used to really enjoy playing that song.
Right.
That was the one.
There you go. Cool.
So anyway, Mike, you got grandkids say I to everywhere. So. Yeah. Go ahead, make a list.
Oh, man, you know, you put me on a spot, too.
Okay, we got Michaela.
Alphabetically,
Riley.
Seems to be the
Jeez,
best. Michaela, Riley, my mind.
Jake. Skyler. Skyler.
Nick, Jake, Skyler. Let's see, Lily, Chloe.
Dylan.
Yeah.
That's
the one.
The back room. Okay, now you're going to have to come on the show. If you're going to pipe in, you're going to have to talk.
Brandon and Danielle.
You went like the opposite of alphabetical.
Oh, I know. I can't remember them all most of the time, so. Yeah.
Yeah, it's wonderful, isn't it? Hey, at least I got an excuse. They radiation soaked my brain. I you know, I go, hey, you know, radiation treatments, you know, I don't have to remember anything anymore.
Well, yeah, but I lived completely through the 70s, so, you know.
Good point. Yeah. You had your own radiation treatment, yes. Jeff?
There was all kinds of treatments back then.
Just everybody that's coming to the store and had a good time with what I've done for them.
Say hi
Keep
to
coming
Cindy.
In.
Say hi to Cindy and your mom.
Cindy, He outfished me every time we go out. Mom never outfishes me because I can't take her out now. So
okay. Well, we do have the beach cat. So
yeah.
There is the beach cat.
Yeah,
anytime you want to take your mom out and the cat,
right.
You're more than welcome to. And if you pick the right tides, literally you walk off and walk on.
That would be the one I'll have to find.
And I have the railing on the front so that she can stand against the railing and lean. And there's no pressure on her to do anything because she's standing up now, right?
Yep.
She's walking.
Walking with one of those wheeled walkers now.
I've got the big front railing on there so that she can lean against the railing, mm-hmm. catch fish, do all that.
Cool.
And if that doesn't work, we'll just strip a couple of things off of it and put a chair on there.
Yep, that's fine. Nope. And usually when I take her out, you can bet there'll be a tornado warning that day.
If not before, during.
During, that's exactly what it is, yeah.
So, anyway, Jeff Calkins, how many years have you been with me, Jeff?
It's 11, I think.
11 years now, and Captain Mike Fitzcharles. And guys,
Five or six, I can't. Somewhere in there.
It's longer than that because, maybe not because you were doing the work on the house right after in 2007 after the hurricane.
Yep.
Yeah. And then shortly after that. You started 2008, I think. I think it was 2008.
Yeah. So you're at six. Yeah, you're right there.
Yeah, geez. Isn't it funny? You know, you were going to come in and help out for a month or two.
Yeah.
Mike just says, I'll come in and help you out for a month or two. That was 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the same thing with Jeff, and that's 11 years ago.
Yeah. Can you work this next Saturday?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
that's
anyway.
Good.
Yeah, it is good.
Yeah.
It ain't much, but it is home.
That's for sure.
So, anyway, this is Fish and Frank, and thank you guys for listening to Radio Fishing. Let's see, I can do this, and we'll make an official close.
Officially?
Wait a minute, it didn't work. Let me try it again.
Look out!
Okay. A little scream of agony, and we're out of here. See you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye now.